Off the ball. Rugby.
Come off it, yeah. I think it's as low as you can get. Like, I thought that was as bad as it gets in terms of trying to claim this, you know, you're humble and no dickheads and all this.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Football on Off the Ball.
With William Hill, you can boost your winnings on every Premier League game with new Bet Builder Extra. Only with William Hill. Download the app today. 18+ gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.
You're welcome back. Now, you might have seen the news earlier on today that Jonas Eidevall has resigned as Arsenal women's manager. Big news, obviously, for Arsenal, for the WSL as a whole, but potentially a sign now as well of where the women's game has got to. I'm delighted to say that Jessie Parker-Humphreys of The Athletic is with us on the line. Jessie, a very good evening.
Good evening to you.
So Serena Wiegman said she was flabbergasted by this news. Is that the general feeling all around the WSL?
No, I kind of admire Serena's diplomacy, I guess, potentially, with saying that. Maybe she was genuinely flabbergasted, I don't know. But I think the writing was on the wall with this one. Arsenal lost 5-2 to Bayern Munich midweek. They then went and lost 2-1 to Chelsea at the weekend. I guess it's interesting that Eidevall chose to resign rather than being pushed by the club. But I don't think many people expected him to be staying as manager of Arsenal for very long.
The writing was on the wall, Jessie, as it turns out.
Well, yeah, exactly. The resignation aspect, I guess, is interesting and I think, you know, speaks to maybe something we're seeing change within the women's game. You know, Eidevall chose to step away. You know, he had a meeting yesterday and, you know, offered his resignation as opposed to the club asking him to move on, which I think has maybe taken people by surprise, given the results that ostensibly Arsenal weren't there themselves bringing the axe down. But that there's been this real sense that, you know, and you felt this at the Chelsea game, that the fans are very much done. And it seems like Eidevall felt like he wasn't going to get them back on side, and that's why he chose to step away. We've seen managers in the past really ride through tough results. Mark Skinner at Manchester United, Gareth Taylor at Manchester City, you know, both managers who are still in their jobs, who've had good starts to the season themselves, who've really pushed on. Even Emma Hayes, who left Chelsea, has really had her moments in terms of struggling during the club. But, you know, they've sort of been able to, I guess, convince the hierarchy that they need to stay, and the hierarchy have been happy to accept that. It feels like with Arsenal that this is maybe one of the first occasions where the manager himself has said this is just not sustainable.
Yeah, it's a really interesting moment potentially. For people who didn't see that, by the way, it was the Jonas out graffiti on the Hornsey Road arches. There's obviously a lot of disquiet in the stadium and there are obvious reasons for it. But it does feel that there is something about Jonas Eidevall that had started to maybe rub the fans up the wrong way, that maybe went beyond the football. Can you explain why it got so vitriolic?
Yeah, I think the football has been a struggle. You know, Arsenal are a very proud team within the women's game, and rightly so. They are the most successful women's team in English football, but the past decade has not been particularly kind to them. And I think, you know, especially the inability to score goals is something that fans have understandably not really enjoyed. The puzzle piece that I feel like finally went is, I guess, conceding goals as well, which is what we saw in that Bayern game. I think Jonas as a manager is someone who has divided opinion, and maybe there's a little bit of a sense of people figuring out about how they feel about managers in the women's game. I think as a manager, his touchline behaviour is very intense. It's probably the right way to describe it, but not. I don't think you find that out of sorts for a Premier League match. Maybe in the WSL, where managers are potentially a bit more reserved, and also you're interacting with people who aren't grown men, they're women, you're bigger than them. I think at points that's made people feel a little bit uncomfortable. I don't know how much that's always affected Arsenal fans, but maybe in the broader circumstances, we obviously had this incident at the Continental Cup final last year, where he had a go at Erin Cuthbert, who, trust me, can definitely hold her own. But she is 5'2", and it's a lot to see, I think, a guy like leaning over at her. And obviously Emma Hayes ended up pushing him in that situation, sort of related to around that. I think maybe that has rubbed up some people the wrong way, and maybe that's just sort of a tension we're going to see, you know, the expectations of what it means to be a manager as a touchline. But it's not even necessarily saying that they might not continue in the direction that Idavall's taken them, but I definitely think it's something that potentially shocked people.
Yeah, I think that's a very important point to kind of touch on here. And while the reality is that I think maybe people would forget about that if Arsenal were winning matches, maybe we shouldn't be forgetting about that too much. That I think certainly from a media standpoint, from a journalist standpoint, you know, you see the behaviour of someone like Idavall in isolation, and your automatic trigger is to talk about this in a way that you talk about a Premier League manager, like, I don't know, a Neil Warnock or a Sam Allardyce or whatever. But actually it's a completely, and that is doing Idavall a disservice, to be fair to him. But this is a different league. This is a completely different set of standards. And I wonder, given the mass media coverage that is now starting to envelop the WSL, are these the sort of conversations that we now need to start having about managers' behaviour, certainly when it comes to men managing on the sideline?
Well, yeah, I think, you know, that incident between Hayes and Idavall in the Continental Cup final was a fascinating example of this, because you've got this incident where Idavall is going at Cuthbert, and then Hayes is the person who pushes. I mean, Hayes is the person who, like, really takes it over the edge. And, you know, she's a woman in that situation as well. I think it's important to try and assess these things with an analytical mind. I don't want to be in a position where people are like, you can't, like, be angry on the touchline because this is women's football. You know, that's almost been what's so incredible about the sort of Jonas out movement, is how angry the fans have been. And I think that's a really important thing in terms of encouraging WSL clubs to be like, you know, your fans aren't going to settle for mediocrity if they feel like you're underperforming. But at the same time, I do think there's something to be said of being like, we see managers on the touchline in the Premier League, or in any men's football, I guess, and people will be really aggressive. Is that fair to the men who are playing? As much as we're then talking about, you know, how it looks with the women who are playing, and obviously sort of the disparity in gender, the height matchups, whatever, make that feel a lot more stark. But I think, you know, it's an interesting question just to have generally about what does it mean for a working environment for players with a manager who might be behaving in that way.
When it comes to the football specifics, then, what has gone wrong on the pitch under Idavall?
Yeah, so when Idavall took the job, Arsenal had this reputation for playing really nice possession-based football. They would smash rubbish teams. You know, they would put plenty of goals past them, but they maybe had a bit of a soft underbelly. And when they came up against the best teams, they would really struggle. Idavall comes in and it basically totally flips. He immediately goes and gets his win against Chelsea in his first WSL game. And there's this real sense like, this is a guy who knows how to win big games. And I think that has always broadly been true. He is a manager who is really good at finding that specific tactical plan when you're playing an elite team. The issue that has come about is that whether this is because it's part of his tactical weaknesses, or maybe because he just doesn't get as excited for these games, he struggled in the games against the smaller teams. So you've seen him drop points over the years to Spurs, to Liverpool, to West Ham, to Birmingham in his first season. And these are matches that have cost him titles and trophies, ultimately. I think the straw that has really broken the camel's back with this season is that also the big games have fallen away as well. And whether that's because there's a lack of trust or a falling out in the dressing room, that's not really clear. But they have this moment where they draw 0-0 to Everton at the Emirates. That's very predictable in some ways. That's what Idavall's football has become about, really struggling to break down a team that is going to sit back and defend. But then you go and play Bayern, then you go and play Chelsea, you lose both those games. And if your upside is winning the big games and you lose those, what's the point?
Is it true that in this summer, the Arsenal hierarchy had to decide between keeping Viv Miedema and keeping Jonas Eidevall. I've seen that put out there. It seems very either or and maybe too simplistic.
Yeah, I think that is simplistic. I think, you know, the situation Miedema obviously ended up in. Miedema is a player who had thought about leaving before. It's really important to say that when she renewed for Arsenal 2 seasons ago, that was a really big deal, and Arsenal fought really hard to keep her, and she had an offer from Barcelona that she very much almost took. So I think sometimes when we're talking about this in the hindsight of like Eidevall leaving and the decision maybe the club was thinking about, it's not like Miedema was sitting there as this amazing loyalist to the club. I will never leave. I will never go anywhere. She's a very pragmatic person, and I think she very seriously weighed up what her options were 2 years ago. And I think the same would have been true the summer that's just gone, even if Arsenal had chosen to make her an offer. I think clearly their relationship had deteriorated. How much her ACL injury played a part in that is really hard to say. I think, you know, who knows what they may or may not have been able to build if she hadn't spent a year out. But the reality was Eidevall moved her position. She went from playing as a striker to playing as a 10. She's still playing as a 10 at Manchester City, so I don't imagine that bit was the problem. But then she does her ACL. She's out for over a year. She barely kind of comes back into the team. Arsenal choose not to renew her. I don't think that's as simple as saying, like, they backed Eidevall over her. That's a player who's expecting to be paid some of the best wages in the WSL. That's a big investment for the club to make. I understand now why fans might say, oh, well, we could still have Miedema. I still think it's a case that maybe it was just the best time for both to move on. But I think it is fair to say that for whatever reason, whether personal or tactical, there clearly wasn't a synergy between Miedema and Eidevall.
How much are Arsenal now merely hanging on to the coattails of Chelsea and Manchester City? And how pivotal a season is this? Is it almost a crossroads in them keeping up with the other two big clubs?
This would be my frustration, I think, if I was an Arsenal fan right now, is that we're 4 weeks in and you've chosen to make this change. And I understand why they didn't make it in the summer. But now you're like, okay, well, we're just starting on the back foot. I do think it's possible for Arsenal to make a lot of this season from where they are. You know, they've lost a game in the Champions League, but it was probably their hardest game in the whole group stage. They could easily go on to win that group and have a impressive run there. The league title is maybe going to be tough given the fact that they're so far behind already. This is what's crazy about the WSL. It's a very short league. You know, it's not like the Premier League where you've got the 38 games to like really make up the points you've dropped. This is a 22-game league and Arsenal have dropped 7 points already. 2 years ago, Chelsea won the league dropping only 8 points. That shows you how you absolutely cannot slip up. So maybe that's already gone. But given where Arsenal are, the opportunity to, say, win an FA Cup, which they won't enter till January, as I've already said, you know, go far in the Champions League, these are really big things for them. So there's plenty of opportunity still there. But it'll be really interesting to see what their process looks like for hiring. Renee Sleggers is coming in. She was Jonas's assistant. She actually took over him from when he left Rosengard to come to Arsenal and manage Rosengard for a couple of years before moving on from there. She could be an option, I guess, to potentially have this job for a while. Otherwise, you'd think they want to go through a very quick hiring process, but maybe that's not the right thing right now. Maybe they need that time to really assess who they want to come in. It's very fascinating because WSL teams don't sack their managers, or like WSL teams at the top don't really sack their managers like this. They tend to take a lot of time. And, you know, the big conversation going into this season is obviously that Emma Hayes left Chelsea. Well, she announced that actually about this time last year, and Chelsea were able to spend months and months and months picking their manager. They announced Sonia Bonpastor as their new manager after the season had finished. That decision had been made earlier, but that shows you like the time span they chose to work with. Arsenal are now in this position where you're like, well, we've got an international break coming up after this weekend. Are they looking to make this decision in 10 days? And what does that mean for the squad?
So did Jonas get mutual decision here? Did he actually get sacked?
Idibal resigned.
Yeah, officially.
He offered his own resignation. Yeah. Yeah.
Why would he not dig the heels in a little bit more?
This is, I think, the interesting element of the fan stuff, I guess, because I think the feeling is that he felt like his job was untenable. The interesting aspect, I guess, is, you know, if he was the one to go to Arsenal and say, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't think I'm the guy to do this anymore. Probably the question for Arsenal fans is, why did Arsenal not feel like that? You know, like, what's the disconnect going on there? I do think, you know, I was talking to Arsenal fans before the Chelsea game, and there was a sense of no matter what the result was against Chelsea, you know, this is their biggest game of the season. Chelsea at home, their biggest rivals. No matter what the result was, they wanted him gone. And so I think he was right to understand, like, that this was over in that sense. And I mean, it's obviously not clear necessarily what maybe he felt from the players and how that maybe impacted his decision. But I think clearly from a fan perspective, you know, you talked about the Jonas Hart graffiti. There were people with P45s at the Emirates, you know, like everyone wanted to move on at that point. And he seemed to recognize that. And maybe the club wanted more time. Maybe he was ready to go before they were. But, you know, that's an interesting thing in itself. And that, I think, speaks to this thing within women's football where clubs have been really happy to wait and see. Where you don't have this sense, you know, in other top divisions where you're like, you know, in the Premier League, you're talking, I guess, about millions of pounds between finishing 7th or 8th, let's say. In the WSL, it's basically like you either come in the top three and you make the Champions League or you get relegated. Mm. And like anything in between that, it doesn't really matter. So I think clubs are less bust because they also see their own talent advantage as being like, we'll take it through. Like, Idibal could have stayed at Arsenal and they'd have probably finished at least third. You know, like, yeah. I could genuinely believe that just because of the players they had. And that means clubs, I think, are generally much more relaxed about who their manager is.
Right. Very interesting stuff. Jesse Parker-Humphreys, thanks so much for taking the call.
Thank you.
Football on Off the Ball.
With William Hill, you can boost your winnings on every game with new Bet Builder Extra. Only with William Hill. Download the app today. 18+ gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.